con sta roba ci salta.
Take it away.
Welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Sebi.
I'm Jan.
And I'm Dave.
And this is a Eurovision podcast for the rest of us. And yeah, it's a turbulent season for Eurovision, for Vienna, for the 17th edition. But we now know for a fact that three countries will return to the Eurovision Song Contest who have been absent for a while. Moldova after 1 year, and then Romania after 2 years, and then Bulgaria after 3 years. So, guys, what was your initial reaction? These almost happened back to back. So, what do you think?
Yeah, within a week, we got three countries back, and it's just nice to have some happy news, some news that's not stressful anymore. It really thrills me. And of course, like just Vienna. You know, you had the big 60th night with the 70th, countries are coming back. Although I did find Martin Green's quotes funny, because he put out a quote every time a new country came back, and he would say like, oh yeah, thanks to Romania, you know, we see truly what it means to be united by music. And then he said pretty much the same thing for Bulgaria and Moldova. And I went to Eurovision's website, and they basically combined all three of those quotes into one. And so our director, I guess, of Eurovision has said, it's fantastic to welcome back BNT, TVR, and TRM to the Eurovision Song Contest. Their returns are a reminder of the enduring power of the contest, strength of our community, and demonstrate what it truly means to be united by music. They cannot use that enough. But yes, it's great. It's great. I'm thrilled. Bring back some Eastern spice to the contest. I'm happy.
And this is the part which I was missing the most for the last few years, because like this sort of countries were always, you know, the flavor of Eurovision. They were always, you know, bringing something really authentical. Whenever you saw them coming, you saw it's going to be or a mess or a huge party or all together, you know, and this is something that I was always looking forward to. All three countries, they all have, you know, a special and unique history of participating in the competition. And I'm glad that they're back, because especially in the last few years, the Balkan countries were just dropping out and out and out, because obviously, you know, the participation fees were sometimes too much for the broadcasters. And it was really sad to see them go, but I really am glad that they are coming back. And yeah, I can't wait to see what they have to offer, especially Moldova. I hope they go for that grandpa that used to audition every year for the last few years. Do you know what was the name of it?
Timur? Is it Timur?
I think it's Timur. Something? Yeah.
I mean, it's about time to send him, you know.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah. I'm thrilled. I mean, it fits to Vienna, kind of, you know. Vienna is often regarded as the bridge, building bridges. We also use that a lot, just like Martin is united by music. But yeah, Vienna is often regarded as the bridge between Western and Eastern Europe. So it's fitting to have these countries back. I also really missed them musically. This season is one decision away from becoming a very good one. But yeah, we're not talking about that now. I'm really thrilled, especially I think Bulgaria has made such a big effort, ignoring Torino, but before that, you know, they really did their best to really send high quality songs that still had the flavor that Jan was talking about. And yeah, I hope Romania is finding their way back, but I think we're going to talk about all of that. So let's just dive in. We're actually going to talk about each of our favorite songs from these countries. Who should we start with? Moldova, I guess, because it's the last, like the most recent we still witnessed in Eurovision.
Sure. And it's the one we know the most about their return too. So,
yeah. And this is tough for me to start, because while I love them and they're always sort of the crazy powerhouse, I don't have like one that is specifically my favorite. I really love Stopsi Stup, all of their entries. I love Pasha Parfeni. Yeah, and I think if I would have to choose, I would probably go for Pasha Parfeni's first entry for Lautar. Which he performed in Baku in 2012. And it's not as much to do with the song, but like it was really funny to me because I was still very young back then. And Austria was, of course, represented by the track Shittas with Voki mi tempopo in the first semi-final. And we were like, everyone in Austria was like, oh, we're gonna make it, we're gonna qualify for sure, no problem. And then Pasha Parfeni was right after them, like in the running order, and we're like, yeah, no, we're not making it. You know, everyone is much better, and this is obviously much better. Yeah, I love Suara Lisi Luna as well, but I think this one has more of his like initial charm that he had, and it's really this folky and ethnic kind of entry that we don't really see, but that was really prominent in the 2000s, early 2010s. And yeah, I would love something for this to send them again, you know, something that is fun, that is ethnic, but at the same time also high quality and can get a good result.
And since we're like talking about Moldova, I think yeah, like some Eurovision songs, they just ask for your attention, and Moldova really delivered over the years with the different, I would say, aspects of what's the current best for Moldova for that year. But I really have to pick one. And if I really have to pick one, it's definitely Ždop Cish Dup, last entry from Torino. Trenuletul just grabs you by the shoulders, shakes you, and I don't know, it drags you onto the dance floor whether you agreed or not. You know, it's folklore meets ska meets a railway timetable meltdown, and somehow, you know, it's just glorious. The Moldovans have always had a flair for the unhinged, but like 2022 was the year they sort of perfected the formula. The energy in Turin was so contagious. I remember being the arena. It was or Moldova or Austria that year, and the venue was shaking. I had an idea that something will, you know, the roof will fall off or anything. But yeah, and the energy was there so contagious, even in the press center, which is obviously, you know, famously immune to joy after 10 days of rehearsals. But like, also like in the press center, you could hear like clapping on, you know, on the beat of that track. And it's kind of, you know, entry which also feels like tailor-made for Eurovision crowd. It was bold, it was camp, it was, you know, how would I say, proudly weird, because, you know, weird some sort of fits into that idea. And also committed to having fun whether the rest of Europe understands it or not. So the vibes were there, and I also recall every single time when this song pops in Euroclub, people went crazy. So I think my vote should go today for Trenuletul.
Yeah, and I knew you were going to take that one, so I picked a different one. But it's one of my biggest memories from Torino. Of course, that was the first Eurovision I saw live, and I still remember Sebi and I up dancing in the arena with everyone. Like the whole arena was up,
Yes,
just
yes.
jumping and everything, and sitting down exhausted after that song was over. But so happy, and I mean, it's no shock that I was going to say they won the televote, but yeah, just behind Ukraine, obviously, that year. Fantastic entry. Glad their national final is back this year. I don't know if it'll have the same name or not, but they're trying to make it more transparent with more jurors. Registration for entries is already open. The sad thing is they won't show the pre-rounds this year that we've all come to love, because some of the hot mess of the year always came out of that. Of course, that's the reason last year they withdrew, because there was nothing good that came out of it at all. But poor, I know. But no, I'm excited. I mean, they're gonna host it in their big arena in Chisinau. It's looking like they're taking this more seriously. And the selection or the song I picked also came out of a selection show, so it proves that they can run this properly and do great things. And mine comes from Lisbon from 2018. You remember Do Re Dos with My Lucky Day. And besides the campiness and the catchy beat and everything, I think it was one of the best stagings we've seen. In a year where there was no LED screen and you had to up your game, they really did.
They really did, yeah.
And if you've seen the video from behind from the rehearsals that show how it all worked, all the
Oh,
doors
yeah.
opening, it was, I mean, they deserved all the points they got for that, and it's certainly a performance I'll never forget.
That was a really good one. Yeah, I agree.
So you get rid of the LEDs and it makes people creative. That's how it
Yeah.
works. All right. Romania is next. They last performed in 2023, of course, but they have the longest track record of these three countries. Of course, in 1993, technically, but 1994 was their first performance in the Eurovision final. So, Dave, let's start with you this time. Which song did you choose?
I've got to go back to Torino for this, because Orsh, I want to say that's how he pronounced his name back then. Really impressed. I remember watching the final that year in Romania and going, "What the hell is this?" And then he showed up in Torino with better dancers, better, well, everything, better vocals. And again, that wasn't an entry that they threw a whole lot of money at. Just, having Yamame show up on the screen every so often. There were no fireworks, nothing spectacular. But that was another one that had us up and dancing, and it's just one that sticks in my mind for sure. And whenever it comes on ESC Radio, I've got to stop what I'm doing in the office and have a good little dance in my chair to that. So, hats off to Orsh.
Obviously, again, Romania is also one of these countries which, offered a lot over the years. But they really tried to dig in more back in the, 2000s, because I have a feeling that as the king and queen of pop, I really should go for bops. And obviously, I would not disappoint with this choice. If some sort of Eurovision gods would be to create a song specifically for gays, I mean for Eurovision fans, it's definitely The Balkan Girls by Elena from 2009. God, sometimes when I hear myself, I'm like, God, I'm so predictable. It's unbelievable. Anyway, sparkles and hips and folklorite, it's like 2009 pop production all wrapped into one glorious guilty pleasure. Elena came to Moscow with the simple thesis that Balkan girls can party, and she proved that. And based on the choreo, the outfits and the energy radiating off that stage, it was pure Euroclub nostalgia that kind that sends fans straight back to the golden era of strobe lights and unapologetic pop choruses. So it was pretty much a bop which is still regularly on my playlist, and it's definitely one of my favorite songs. But it didn't really like shake the scoreboard at the time. It was more like made for us, for the fans, the Eurovision fandom who still screams the Balkan girls like to party like nobody. But yeah, it's definitely I would say it's my favorite song from Romania for sure.
See, I'm torn now because I always say my favorite Romanian entry is 2003 with Don't Break My Heart by Nicola because this is such a typical 2000 song. What makes 2003 such a guilty pleasure for me?
Exactly.
But if I'm gonna talk about the one that had maybe the most impact, I'll have to go for 2 years later for Luminata Angel and System with Let Me Try. Let me try, let me try. because I think this is what started their powerhouse era. It's really it's still their best entry to this day, and I think those started 10 really great years from 2005 to 2015, where they always qualified, where they were always successful. It seemed like they were like a surefire qualifier every time. You know, you saw Romania as in the semifinal. Oh, that's a guaranteed qualifier, you know, which is crazy to think nowadays. But yeah, I think this was peak Romania. This is peak 2000s. This is everything that was great about the 2000s in Eurovision. And it's still, you know, very captivating, very empowering to me. And yeah, I don't know, in 2016 that, you know, disqualification happened, and I think that's what kind of threw them off the tracks. And now I hope they can somehow regain that power, you know. It's been 20 years since Let Me Try, so let them try again and let's go for it.
And speaking of peak 2000s, my close second, and the only reason it came second after Yamame is because I saw that one live. I would have to go back to 2006 with Tornerò, because that's
Oh,
just
yes.
peak 2000s, peak Eurovision, from Mihai there. And of course Romania would send a song in Italian. Why not? Makes so much sense. But what a bop.
Can we talk about the song is like 20 years old next year?
Don't even start.
Maybe it's time for Mihai finally to return to his Eurovision stage, and maybe to, you know, maybe that will help him to.
After 17 attempts. Yeah. All right, and this time we will start with Jan. We have one country left, Bulgaria. I think the most, how do you say, ambivalent country, you know, the most, you know, they're either really hit or miss. You know, they've had, you know, top five finishes, they've had a lot of non-qualifications and hardly anything in between. And yeah, it's difficult maybe to choose between them. I think actually, even among the non-qualifiers, they have a lot of really good songs, a lot of robbed entries. So, Jan, which was your choice? Tell us.
Well, Bulgaria ha had to offer a lot, you know, and if there's something, we should really give them some credits for trying different ways how to get themselves serious in a competition, because they really, you know, tried with different stuff, and from supergroups to, you know, well-polished entries and stuff. And since they haven't really been that successful, but they definitely left a lot of impact in a competition. I have to say that, because there was a lot of them which I liked, which was so hard to pick one. But since you know, I would say, again, since I'm very, very predictable, king and queen of pop, I think I should definitely go with their 12 in with their entry in 2012 with Level Unlimited.
Oh my God, robbed legend, robbed fucking icon by
I
the same
know.
amount of points as fucking 2G, who cannot hit a single note. What the fuck? Yeah,
I
preach,
mean,
speak,
you know,
speak.
like Bulgarian Eurovision journey really has like its ups and downs and disappearances and reinventions and stuff, but like every road eventually in life leads back to Sophie Marinova. That's, you know,
It's true.
fact.
That's my philosophy in life in general.
I would say Level Unlimited remains that rare creature in the Eurovision wild, like a pure Eurodance banger with a message so sincere it becomes iconic all over again. I love how she walked out in Baku alone on stage. There was no
No in-ears,
dancers,
no
no in-ears,
dancers.
no
Yeah.
lasers, no trick staging. It was just her
And she was the
on this.
most ecstatic person on that stage ever, you know?
She was singing like what, 10 languages, because frankly, you
Yeah.
know, one continent wasn't enough for her. And I love the idea that Love Unlimited is actually some sort of, I like to think about it as a love letter to all of Europe, but specifically to, how would I say, every gay club where the DJ has ever yelled, "Are you ready?" before dropping a 3 a.m. Balkan remix from a random country. And yeah, and that final note is, you know, one of the classic Eurovision moments of all time. And yeah, it was hard to choose, but it's definitely Love Unlimited and my endless pure pop love for Bulgaria in Eurovision.
Yeah, she had a budget of 2 euros and a dream, and
I
she
loved
was
it,
an
but
icon. Yes.
exactly. But you see, I mean, who else could have a 2 euro budget
Yeah.
and doing all of that? I mean, come on, without in-ears, are you for real? Like, I mean, for her, it felt like probably just like another party in the, some sort of Bulgarian club, a place where the only place which is open
Yeah.
after 3 a.m. So she had a blast, and so did we. So.
Yeah. And as you said, 10 languages, she was the first person in Eurovision history to sing in Azeri because Azerbaijan never sang in its own language.
Until
So,
that,
yeah,
yeah.
she broke many records. Yeah. It's tough for me to choose because, as I said, there's so many robbed entries. Like
Yes.
Café with Lorraine got dropped, Mariana with Let Me Cry got dropped, then DJ Take Me Away got dropped, then
Robbed.
Polly Genova with Nai Nat got dropped,
Robbed.
Sophie Marinova, of course. And I think the entries that did well, actually, they got the recognition that they deserved. So I don't want to focus that much on them. I think Water was great. I think Polly Genova's second entry, of course, Christian Kosto,
Beautiful
Victoria. But
mess, yeah.
yeah, I want to focus on Naina. Maybe on Polly Genova's first entry in 2011 because this was amazing. This was, I think this was even more her, If Love Is a Crime is very great, but it felt like more designed for Eurovision. And Nainat feels very authentic, very raw, very much her own kind of music. It's rock, It has this pop rock, this 2011 pop rock, that we had that was very prominent then. That's sort of the music I grew up with too. Yeah, I think it's a shame this failed to qualify, especially in 2011, which was a very uneven year with semifinals. Like the first semifinal was garbage and the second was great, and she had the misfortune to be in the second semifinal. I mean, we talked about Romania qualified every time, but Hotel FM with Change qualified over Polly Genova with Nainat. That's crazy to me. So yeah, I think if we have an entry that we want to praise, it's definitely this one. This deserves more recognition.
Yeah, so I'm glad I didn't take Polly Genova because I knew that was going to come up.
Yeah.
She's iconic. I'm glad I didn't go for 2012 because that was the obvious one, and I knew Jan was going to pick that one. And I was really torn what to pick. And I listen to ESC Radio at work all because I'm in an office and I'm a nerd, so I just kind of have that in the background all day. And I noticed myself toe tapping to a song, and it comes on every so often, and I like it, but I didn't know it. I said, this one must be from the 2000s, not in a grand final because I've never seen it. So I went into the website and looked up what it was, and it was a song from Bulgaria. And of course, it's one that Sebi just mentioned that was robbed. It's DJ Take Me Away from
Oh, what a mess.
2008.
Oh.
Right,
Yeah.
11th place, just barely didn't make it. I think a point or two they were away. Such a hot mess on stage too, with the performance, just like
Oh,
throw
always.
everything at it. And vocals, I mean, they weren't bad, but certainly I think deserved to qualify in Belgrade that year. But it's just a shame that it didn't. And it's one of those bops that I'll keep on my playlist for a very long time. And hope we get something as energetic and as fun on stage this year from them in Vienna.
Yeah, but the singer has announced the points for Bulgaria a couple of times, and
Yes,
this was also a
even on her
hot mess.
birthday.
Oh yeah, it's true. No,
Yeah.
I think was that the same one? Oh yeah, maybe. That's true.
It's my birthday.
Happy birthday to me. No, but I think in 2013 with Petra there was this moment where she didn't realize she was on cam, and then she has a moment. So yeah, the hot mess stayed even after the performance.
Yeah, but Bulgaria is also one of these countries where there was so much mess, but it was always loved by Eurovision fans. And I mean, especially, I think out of all of those three countries, I really had a hard time selecting the most with Bulgaria, because like there were so many songs that should get more recognition in the Saturday evening, you know. And there was huge diverse of what was a huge pop banger to, I don't know, I remember, or was that just COVID era, or was just like always, you know, in 2020 with Tears Getting Sober, it for me it's still one of, I would say one of the best Eurovision ballads, even though it never ended up on Eurovision stage, but it was such a great track. And also, as you said, Dave, DJ Take Me Away, and I mean, there's a lot of them, but I'm just super surprised that none of you guys mentioned Intention, maybe from 2022.
That was one of their non-qualifications that was not as robbed as the other ones, let me put it like
I
that.
can't believe that's the only song from Bulgaria I've ever seen on a Eurovision stage live.
Oh my God.
Right.
Very much fair. But no, yeah, I really am manifesting some sort of return to that sort of pop era or banger era. They were always delivering. And of course, their second place, we didn't mention that in 2017. Wow.
Yeah,
I mean,
we all had three non-qualifiers, which also is very, it speaks for itself. They had a lot of robbed entries, but yeah, they actually have the best result out of all these three countries that we talked about.
I love that
And
we really selected the ones which,
yeah,
you
they
know, the
didn't
ones that didn't
qualify.
qualify.
But for some reason, I have high hopes. Maybe out of those three, I have the highest hopes for Bulgaria when it comes to like an eventual victory in the
Yes, so
near
am I.
future,
So am I.
because Moldova relies on silliness. They have high chances with the televote, but maybe not as much with the juries. I think Romania still needs a little bit of time to rebuild itself, but Bulgaria has so many wonderful artists, so many like huge artists who are ready to go to Eurovision, and we saw what they can do with the right pick. So I think it's just a matter of time. And I think it's time for Eurovision to go back to Eastern Europe. And why not
Yeah.
be Sofia or Varna or Plovdiv
I would love that.
2027?
I would love that. And also, like, I agree with you, Sebi, on this one, because I think Bulgaria is out of those three the only one which already proved in the past that they, after, you know, they failed so many times because unfortunately they didn't qualify more than they would, of course. When they saw, okay, we have a huge issue, what should we do, blah blah blah, and I love the idea how at some point they said, okay, we really have to get our together, and especially from 2016 onwards, I remember how huge, what a great positive feedback from the Eurovision fans was return of Polly Genova, and
Exactly, that
this
was their return. So
it was,
imagine what they can do this year with a return entry.
because it took them a few years to just wait, sit back and realize what was actually you know, the main issue with it. And you know, it was in 2016 and 17, it was both years they landed in top five, almost won 2017. So I think it was, if there wasn't any COVID in between, they would really go on in a way
Oh,
that, you
yeah.
know, they should stay on the right track. So I have high hopes for them because I'm sure, I don't know how much you check Twitter, but I also love the way how they communicate on the Bulgaria Eurovision channel. It can be sometimes very much hilarious.
It's not
Yeah.
the same person in charge still, but
I agree.
See, it
So yeah,
seems like
I
it.
yeah.
Oh, God.
So I hope to see something really amazing. I'm putting the high hopes, and I'm predicting for 2026. Maybe I might be wrong, but they might place. I think out of those three, Bulgaria, I think, will make the best result out of it.
Let's hope so. And also, this will be the first time that Bulgaria will compete in a contest in Austria, because they always withdrew or something, or were not able to participate. So yeah, finally. And yeah, let's see. Either way, I would be thrilled with any of these countries winning soon. I think, yeah, we need some more power with the Balkans. And yeah, we'll hear more from them very soon. I'm really excited what they're gonna bring.
Yes.
So for more updates, follow us on social media. We are at Building Bridges Pod on all platforms, and our website is buildingbridgespod.com. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast if you want more updates from the Eurovision world, and join in next time again. Bye bye.